Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry. Shun evil companions, bad language, despair, disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you. To him that o'ercometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Good
to see each one here this morning, and it's good to be here this morning. If we might turn, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. To the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking this morning at the life of Paul, a little bit of it. We're not doing a complete biography of Paul's life. But the theme of the meeting this morning is Paul examined. Paul examined. And just by way of a little introduction, in verse 9 of chapter 8, Paul is speaking of Christian liberty. We all know that, we don't all know, but those that are saved know that the Lord has set us free from the law which I suppose you could say is the Ten Commandments, and so on, that we are saved by grace and not by works, and we are kept by grace and not by works, and basically we have been set free. We are no longer under at least all of the law. You may say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, our Lord Jesus would still have it so that we worship one God alone, and many of the, we honor our parents, and many of the laws are repeated in the New Testament. But basically, we have the liberty that our salvation is free. A grace is a free grace, that we do not lose our salvation every time we sin. And we read in verse 9 of chapter 8, "Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And verse 11, "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. When you so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend," in other words, if the food that I eat make my brother to offend, "I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." This is Paul's attitude. He had this freedom. He had all kinds of rights as a Christian. But if he saw that his weak brother, those that were of tender conscience, that he said, if what I eat, even if what I eat and I have freedom, we know from the book of Acts that everything was open for them to eat. There no longer were laws against pork and other unclean animals, even lobster, all these things. But they're free. They're free. And Paul had many rights and freedoms as an apostle. And yet he gave up freedom so that people would see that he was to be trusted. We know that today, and in many, especially television evangelists, we know they're becoming quite famous for claiming their rights to every last thing they can get and more. And when we see Paul stand up against them, so to speak, and be examined, he was a man that should be listened to and should be obeyed. His words are indeed words of one who knew Christ, who saw Christ, and who loved Christ. His were words that, and his message was one that showed a love for the lost. A love for the lost. And when people were believers, he is a man that should be listened to. He wrote perhaps 14 books in the New Testament. Basically, his name is in 13 of them, and it is quite possible that he wrote the book of Hebrews. Many believers feel that he is the author of that book as well. He wrote much of the New Testament. And if you are wondering about his credentials, after all, he was not one of the original 12. He had not been with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years, so to speak, when he was on the earth, as the others could claim to have had. And so, should he be listened to on the same level as the others? His argument is that indeed he should be, in this passage anyway. He actually spoke most times in fear and trembling. But he wanted people to understand a couple of things. One is that he would give up any amount of his liberty to see souls saved, his rights, even beyond what the other apostles who had their rights. And also that he has the authority of an apostle. You know, if my wife was here, if she's not here, and if I was to give you a bunch of commands from the New Testament, which I could, and you were to say, well, why should I listen to you? Do you practice what you preach? Well, I am saved by grace and kept by grace. I try to practice what I preach, but often fail. But we'll look at Paul today, and I think you'll have to admit, this is a man who really is exemplary among believers in pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read some of this. Verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me, and that is the text there, my answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I think these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we should reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, this authority, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live off the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, and one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we look at this passage here of our brother Paul. He is very concerned about the gospel. And you know, today people are very concerned about methods of preaching the gospel. But you know, basically people see what we are more than what we preach. And we see here Paul's idea was not so much, well, if you want to show that you're get somebody saved, well, then just show that perhaps you can drink with the best of them, or you can dance with the best of them, or you can play poker with the best of them, or you could do whatever it is with the best of them. But that wasn't Paul's idea at all, was it? He showed them that he was willing to give up his liberties. He was willing to give up his liberties that souls might be saved, and that new believers might grow, might truly grow. And so he shares with us in chapter 9 one of the great sacrifices of his life. And that was that basically he did not refuse gifts, so to speak, but on the as he preached. But on the other hand, he gave up his rights to be supported as an apostle. That's quite a thing. He states in verse 1, I am an apostle. This is what he's saying. He states it in a negative way, but that's what he means to say. I am an apostle. I am free. I have my rights. I've been set free as an apostle. Been sent forth by Christ. Says, I have seen Jesus Christ. And we read that on the road to Damascus, indeed, he did see the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. Ye are my work in the Lord, he said. He said, you know that I have worked, and actually, if you want to read in the book of Acts, then you'll see there the beginning of the church at Corinth, who he is writing at now. Writing at a bit of disadvantage, by the way, because what he is also doing here is establishing that he is all for them. He has sacrificed greatly for them, and that he prays that they would listen to what he has to say. There's a lot of correction. There's a lot of, if we want to call it, rules and corrections in this passage of Scripture. And he is wanting them to understand that it's not just from him, but that he has loved the Lord. He is indeed an apostle, a follower of the Lord, that has gone forth with the word of God. He said, I am an apostle to you, to the Corinthians, he said. And the very fact that you're in the Lord is the seal of my apostleship. In other words, he could look around at lives and maybe the whole assembly there that would not have even been there if it was not for his work. And he speaks here in verse 3 and speaks of his apostolic authority. This is what Peter and the rest, that is Jesus' two brothers, Jude and James, whose works we have in the New Testament, and we have Peter and we have John. Their writings are in the New Testament. And how were they supported, and what rights did they have? Well, we read verses 3 to 7 that they had the right to eat and drink. That means that their food and their drink came from the assemblies, from Jerusalem and so on. They had the right to support a family as they traveled about with the word of God. They had the right of support of a wife and family. You can read that in the passage. and they could forbear working. In other words, they did not need to work full time in labor or whatever. Forbear working. The reason why they could forbear working was, he compared it to a soldier. A soldier was supplied his support by the state. The vine dresser could eat of the fruit of the vine. The shepherd, the herdsman, could eat of the flock. This is what Paul is saying. In other words, it only makes sense. He's speaking of things that are very natural. If you are a soldier or a farmer or a shepherd or a herdsman, you eat of the flock. He's in verses 8 to 10, he talks of an example that the law gives, that you should not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The ox eats the corn. He plows and he threshes in hope that he would be a partaker of the corn. And of course, they don't stop him. And so that is, as it were, that's how the apostles were supported as they worked in the things of the Lord. He brings this to a little bit of a head. He develops this thought quite a bit. In verse 11, just notice it says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? In other words, if the word of God is going forth, then should not there be those, in this case, the apostles, that would receive your carnal things, the food and clothing, the support of a wife, to forbear working, these things. And in verse 12, Paul says, speaking of himself, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? In other words, are not we even more? We have more of a right. I started the work, is what he's saying. And the men that are with me, we did the work, the original groundwork, and the souls were saved. So we have, if others have this authority, we have even more authority. And then in verse 12, he continues on with a temple illustration here. Do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? And we know that's true of the family of Aaron and also the Levites in the Jewish nation. Those that ministered at the temple lived of the things of the temple. They had got so much, they got, I guess, 10% of the people's tithe plus part of the meat in the offerings and so on. So we read of that. They that wait of the altar are partakers of the altar. We read also in verse 13. These are, to this day, I suppose, are the are teaching concerning the rights of those that preach the gospel. We read also in verse 14 concerning the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so hath the Lord ordained, commanded that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. And so we see of this, we read in Matthew 10, verses 9 and 10, in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, they are very similar verses. They basically say that those, let's have a look here. Matthew chapter 10, I'll look up one of them because it's completely left my head. Matthew chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats nor neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. This is repeated in Luke chapter 10 and verse 7, and it came from the very teaching of the Lord himself, and Paul preaches this. Those that preach the gospel should live off the gospel. But Paul says something back in verse 12. He says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. Paul and his party were different than the other apostles. Now, he's not putting the other apostles down. I believe what he is trying to do refers back to verse 9 in the preceding verse, in the preceding chapter, in the whole chapter. Take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. He was trying to show that he too knew what it was to sacrifice in order to show the weak and the unsaved as well. For he's speaking here of the gospel and the power of the gospel going forth. By being consistent in this area, he says, we are not partakers of this power over you. In other words, the three things that are mentioned earlier on, the eat and the drink, he supplied at his own hand. And by the way, that he repeats this other places. He not only by working supplied his own needs, but he by working also supplied the needs of those that went out on the missions with him. He did not take the support of a wife in travel. He did not forbear working. And so we see a man that was that could say, "Well, examine me if you want." You must keep in mind, too, that his very apostleship was under attack. He was not, by some, thought to be fit to be compared with the others. And yet we find that he had all the same authority as the others. It is that, for the sake of the gospel, he did not use those rights. So as we look on in verse 16, he talks about the gospel. I have used none of these things in verse 15. Neither have I written these things that it should so be done unto me. I'm not complaining, he's saying. I'm not complaining. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. He said, this is something that I am, in a sense, boasting of. And he apologizes for boasting, but he says to them in another place, he says, but you've driven me to boasting because they did not trust him. They did not like the things that he said. Even now, I've had one of my own family, not under my own roof, but one of my family shared with me. She said to me, you know, Bob, Paul was an old bachelor, and he was bitter against women. They didn't like what he had to say about the role of women. They didn't in the days of Corinth, and they don't like it today either. Many. Sadly, this person was one that professed to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we find that Paul, he says things that are, Peter says this of Paul's writings, he says many things that are hard to be understood, and that men twist. Rest means to give it a twist, for they don't care for his writings. But Paul said, no, that's not. It's not that I just have hard things or that I want to control your life or I want to be the big buck that's the boss and that I teach different than other apostles. I teach the same thing. But in my life, I give up liberties. I give up liberties so that you would understand that the things that I'm writing. See, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. The things that I am writing are things that are only right. He says in verse 16, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Necessity is laid upon me. There's no other choice. He was called to the work of preaching the gospel. I don't believe it's only, by the way, full-time workers that are called to preach the gospel. But he says, though I preach the gospel, I'm nothing to boast at there. Necessity's laid upon me. I preach the gospel. Peter preached the gospel. John preached the gospel. Jude preached the gospel. James preaches the gospel. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I do it willingly, I have a reward. But if I don't preach the gospel, if I preach it against my will, I don't want to preach the gospel, still I have a dispensation of the gospel committed to me. I must preach the gospel. By the way, if we're talking about an assembly, we must have gospel. We must. We must. Even if we don't want it, the Bible says right here, he says there's been a dispensation given to me, and it's given to all the church. So as we look along here, he says, if I preach it willingly, I have a reward. If not, it's still committed to me. Then in verse 18, he says, but my gain is this, that I preach the gospel without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Wanted them to know that. He did not take advantage of the position that he held to make a nice little nest egg for himself by preaching the gospel. And he did not abuse his power in the gospel. He is not, by the way, condemning the apostles. They had given him the right hand of fellowship, and he had given them the right hand of fellowship right back. But his life was different. His ministry was different than the other apostles. Paul made himself a bondslave to all, he says in verse 19. These passages are often used to show that Christians need to loosen up and be sinful in order to reach out to the unsaved. But this is not what this is teaching at all. He said, I made myself a bondslave to all. I'm a slave to everybody. He said, I became as a Jew in order to gain the Jews. He said, in my ministry, you know all these things? I know that I'm free from keeping the law. I don't have to go to the temple, but when I'm in Jerusalem, I go to the temple, he said. To a Jew, he did as a Jew to gain the Jews. He didn't invite them for supper and then serve them a pig with an apple in his mouth. He was as one that was under the law to gain those that were under the law. He was as without law to gain the Gentiles. He didn't come to the Gentiles and preach to them that they ought to keep the law. But he's very quick to add this, if you might have noticed. He says, but I'm under the law to Christ. That is not to say that you must obey the New Testament commandments in order to be saved. But what he was saying is, I never at any time went into a life of sin to save sinners. You'd say, well, Bob, that sounds ridiculous. You go into a life of sin to save sinners? Yeah, that's what they're talking about today. That's what they're talking about. But that's not what Paul did. Let it never be said. I remember when I was a new believer, And one thing that I had when I was a new believer, I may not have known anything. I didn't know any of the big words of the gospel. But I knew that Jesus had died for me, and I was terribly concerned that others would know that Jesus Christ had died for them. But in the preceding 2 years before I was saved, we used to play at dances, just country dances, fiddle and the piano and the guitar. And I remember one night after I was saved, getting in a situation where we were playing and doing a little dancing, and that it just brings quite a bit of embarrassment to me to even think of telling you that I did that, but that's all right. But one of the ladies, and she was a professing Christian, and I believe this lady is going to heaven. She said, "Bob, I'm glad to see that you're not religious." She said, "I'm glad to see that that you are a person who," and I can't think of the word, that you have a good sense of humor, you're not overcome with all of these do's and don'ts sorts of things." And I got thinking about that as a believer. And I was embarrassed when she said that to me, because I really felt that we as believers needed to make a difference in the lives of the unsaved. Well, that spoke to me. A little bit later, I played at a dance, and I had given my testimony in church, and this was at a wedding, and there was a party afterwards, and there was quite a bit of drinking going on. And I sat at the piano, and I was thinking, now there, dancing behind me were people that in some sense had gone forward in church at one time or another, made some sort of a profession. And I was thinking to myself, oh my dear, I want to see these people saved. Whose side am I on? They didn't even notice I was there. It didn't embarrass them that here I was doing this kind of thing, and they were just hooping it up and having a great time, getting drunk. And I thought to myself, that's it. From that day to this, that has been it. It is not, as we see here, Paul was concerned. He had the right, I mean, what difference if Philip goes in and plays the piano, he's not drinking, he might have a Coke. But I wanted more than not offend them, per se, in itself. I wanted to see them saved. And over the years, we've tried every few years to send out some tracts or something in the area. Every chance I would get to preach the gospel over the years. Because people need to be saved. Yes, we can go along with what might offend them in a way that they expect more of us sometimes than they expect of the unsaved. But we need to be willing to give up if we're going to see souls saved. He said, "I'll be all things to all men to save some." But I don't think what he means there is I can be, do whatever I want. He said he wanted to have fellowship with the Corinthians in the gospel, and I believe what he meant by that was that they would see there'd be more added to their number through the real gospel, a gospel which includes repentance a change of life and a change of direction. I pray that as Christians, that we would be willing to sacrifice some of our rights, the things that I suppose we might do, in order to see souls saved. Something that is of concern to me is that I understand that many are entering into card playing and into some games which are used in gambling, like poker. When I was, over the years, I know this young Christian, they were a young Christian couple then, now they're divorced, came to the place where this man could not take home his paycheck. He could not do it. He could not get back by the gambling establishments. I believe that as Christians we should be mindful of our freedoms. Am I going to go to your home and somehow arrest you? Or no, but I would say this. Be careful. Be careful. Show a care. Paul was willing to give up what would have been a huge cash cow. You can read about it there. But he thought of the unsaved. We need to be thinking. We need to be thinking believers. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's about people going to hell. It's not about my freedoms. If you're not saved here today, I pray that you would call on the Lord Jesus Christ, even this day. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day. We pray, Father, that as we look at the life of Paul the Apostle, we'd see of the tremendous rights he had, that he gave up of his own will. We pray, Father, that we too would look at our lives in not what we would keep for ourselves so much, or the rights that we have, but that we would look at things that may be a stumbling block that might keep someone else out of heaven. I might keep a believer backsliding, a weak believer. So many things would cost so very little to give up, but some of our rights, they cost so much for us to maintain. We just pray, Father, that you'd speak to our hearts. We thank thee for thy precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless.